previously.
This is my friend Caroline.
Hi.
I'm a person.
It's not so bad.
You're not insane.
No, yeah.
Buffy.
We're here to talk about Buffy.
There's so much like, I don't know if I can be with you anymore.
Buffy is a show about a girl who kills vampires.
Yes, and there's only one
you
in every generation.
You have not mentioned
right.
anything
How
about...
How would I describe it? Thank you so much. Well, I would call it a cult classic.
And now, the shocking conclusion.
I feel like Buffy used its platform. Huh?
No, oh. I was swallowing.
Oh, sorry. I thought you said something very quiet and mysteriously.
Yes.
Do you think Buffy used its platform to deal with social issues, or was just the fact that it existed at all sort of its own, I don't know, like just its very existence was sort of like a statement on a social issue?
That one.
Okay.
And I think it was like, this is what society, this is what life looks like, you know, except with vampires and werewolves.
Okay.
Because, you know, they all had normal lives. I mean, people die in real life.
Yeah.
And you have to deal with it. And, I mean, terrible things happen all the time. He just made it into, you know, vampires and werewolves. He's just telling a story of people like us.
Yeah.
Through the hero's journey. But the hero's journey is realizing that everything, it's all bigger than her.
Right.
I don't know where I'm going with this. Do you know where I'm going? No. Does it feel like I'm going someplace
yes.
amazing?
It certainly felt like you were going somewhere. It felt like you knew where you were going until you said, I don't know where I'm going with
where
this.
Where am I going with this? But each of the characters has that same moment where it's like, you know, this is what I want, but what needs to happen is bigger than I am.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this then. Honestly, the whole point of me doing this was like, I kind of pitched the idea a long time ago mm-hmm. to Caroline about wanting to kind of do more than just an episode on Buffy, kind of like really get into like why it's important. Because I feel like you were the kind of person who has enough to say about it.
Kill with this.
you have a lot to say about this, and like specifically like, maybe for people who haven't seen it or who want to go back and have another reason to like re-examine it.
Mm-hmm.
Just like with my friend Sam, I want to do the same kind of thing with Harry Potter.
Yeah.
I would say she's, as you are with Buffy, she's mm-hmm. like ahead of you on Harry Potter. Though you were the first person I knew who cared about Harry Potter.
Right.
Well,
that's all about a dude and I'm a girl.
Yeah. Sam's a girl.
Whatever.
It's a girl's name also. It's short for Samantha. But
I feel like I know her. She's a teacher, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
She's cool.
She's very cool.
Yeah.
And she's been on the show several times.
Mm-hmm.
But completely lost my train of thought. And
you wanted to talk to me about Buffy and talk about specific episodes?
I thought this would be like a really, and just honestly, like I wanted to have a reason to kind of like go back and re-examine it. And you said something to me at one point about why you felt like Buffy was important now.
Yeah.
Just as like maybe not, or maybe this was what you said. I can't remember if this is exactly what you said, but it was kind of like the vibe I got was like Buffy is more important to remember now than ever.
Oh yeah.
And why do you feel that is?
Well, I feel like part of the new administration, and I mean I don't feel it, it's true, is going to be to shift kind of the collective consciousness back on to this concept that it's okay to marginalize women, that it's okay to marginalize weird people,
mm-hmm.
That it's okay.
That it's okay to marginalize, period.
Anybody. Yeah, yeah. Right. Like, let's...
Whoever we pick, it's like the idea of marginalization is... No, that's normal.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the big thing about Buffy in high school, everybody knows who she is, but she's not the most popular girl in school.
No, that's Cordelia.
That's Cordelia, and she's fantastic.
Cordelia is... like, I love Cordelia so much on Angel.
Oh, yeah. She's like, great on Angel.
By the time she goes to Angel, it's like... Well, I mean, wow, and talk about a female character that has, like, such an arc.
Oh, totally. Oh, she's, my like, Lord. Totally stupid, but ridiculous.
You go from hating her so much on Buffy...
to just being like, you're the best, Cordelia.
She's my favorite character on Angel.
I mean, Joss loved working with her. He wanted to do a Wonder Woman movie with her, but people were like, oh, no, she was in Playboy. We've seen her naked, so she can't be Wonder Woman.
Unbelievable.
So anyway.
She would have been so great. I thought it was also a thing of they were saying, like, she's too old.
Yeah, or, you know, fat or whatever, because Wonder Woman has to be super skinny.
That, ugh. it irks me to no end that they picked Gal Gadot. Maybe she's going to be great, but
one thing I do know, she's really beautiful.
I've seen a number of movies she's been in, and all I can say is she does not seem to have the strongest grasp of the English language. Mm. And...
they always do that.
And it's like, oh yeah, speaking of that movie we watched today, mm-hmm. which was Mortal Kombat Annihilation, where there's these attractive people who can barely speak English.
Let's just get these beautiful people to play these parts, and we'll teach them how to say the lines.
And it's like, do you not think that it's important for them to like really have a mastery over the language they're going to be speaking in?
I'm actually more excited about Wonder Woman because it's directed by a woman.
Yeah.
The woman that directed The Killing, which is
hauntingly good. She did not get to cast Wonder Woman.
She did not get
to
cast it.
Yeah. And I guarantee... if she had been the one casting,
it would
Wonder
not
Woman,
have been Gal Gadot.
No, it would not have.
No,
I cannot.
I believe you. Trust me. Most women feel that way too.
We could do a whole podcast
about how, like, why did we pick a tiny, skinny girl to be Wonder Woman? She's supposed to be an Amazon. They're supposed to be terrifyingly large.
Yeah, and look like
strong.
She should look strong and powerful. She should look intimidating.
But she's not drawn that way.
Well, I mean, sometimes. I mean, I guess it depends. I could certainly start pulling out a lot of comics to go like, look, here's someone who gets it.
Yeah.
But also lots of times, you know, that'll be a whole nother thing once the movie comes out, which is coming out this month.
I know. Holy shit. Really?
Yeah.
I don't even know. I'm so excited.
I'm pretty sure it's this month.
It's this year.
It's definitely this year, but I'm pretty sure it's like the 24th or something. I'm stoked. I cannot tell you how badly I want this movie to be good.
Me too. Shit.
If it's not... they're going to be like, see, can't have girl superheroes.
Yeah, because you cast a f***ing anorexic, you know? Like, well, stop it!
And it's like, get someone that can act.
Yeah.
How about you finish the script before you announce the release date? Anyway, that's a whole nother topic. But let's get back to Buffy, which is good.
Right.
What?
Let Joss Whedon write and direct Wonder Woman, please.
It's also so, it's like insane to think about that we could have had a Joss Whedon Wonder Woman movie.
Well, let Joss Whedon write it and then let a woman direct it. Let him write and cast it.
Like that they...
We could have, but they were like, no.
They were like, no, we don't think you can handle it. And then he does The Avengers, which is like the biggest movie of all time.
Yeah.
You know, makes like over $1 billion. You know, just short, not that long after Warner Brothers had... rejected
just
his...
gotten rid of him, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, then just not that long later, then he does The Avengers, and it's like,
Oh, and then they released Cabin in the Woods. They made Cabin in the Woods a while back.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this while you were talking about, like, the characters and the cohesiveness and all that stuff. And one of the things about Buffy is the creators and original writers were kind of there all the way through... the end.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he hired new people.
Brought new people in. People like, what's it like, Marty...
Yeah, Marty Noxon, who eventually worked as a showrunner or head writer for Mad Men after Buffy was over. But yeah,
there's
Marty Noxon was there from the beginning. That
now, see,
show,
that's a show that really shows you what a powerful, strong woman's point of view...
I mean... Peggy is an amazing character in that.
Yes.
There's a lot of amazing female
characters. Yeah, there's tons of great characters.
Which is, I mean, and Marty Noxon was one of the head writers, so...
So there you go.
They were definitely like, how does a woman want us to tell this story, you know?
Yeah.
But we could talk about Mad Men in a whole different one. You know, a whole different one of these things. Whatever these things are. These radio shows.
Your little radiola show.
But yeah, he kept the core members,
mm-hmm.
you know, and even when he was kind of spread too thin and the show got a little weird, he came back and was like, let's get it back together again. Let's get back on track.
When
like,
was that?
Probably people would probably say when Buffy was having a lot of sex with Spike. But one of the episode where she decides to stop having sex with Spike is a really important episode, I think, to me.
I don't think the word sex has ever come up on the show. Maybe it has.
I mean, there's a lot of sex in the show.
No, I meant on my show.
Oh, on this show? Well, we're talking about Buffy.
Yeah. It's important. It plays a huge part in the character's life.
And in, like, you know, our lives as human beings, if we choose to, like...
It's a thing in real life.
Be intimate with each other. I mean, she kind of deals with all of the fallouts of those things.
All the different ways it goes when you have like sex with a vampire.
Or that dude in college for
junior. Riley?
No, not Riley. Oh. The guy that she just sleeps with and he won't talk to her anymore. The sleazy dude in college that's like, we shared a moment. And that doesn't have to mean anything but that night. And he's talking to Willow about it when Buffy turns into a caveman.
sure, like you do in real life.
She's drinking beer and that this guy's been putting caveman juice in and people, they turn into cavemen. And
Willow, this show is not silly, though.
It's not at all. It's totally serious. But yeah, Willow's having a conversation with him and he's like trying to explain to her what he explained to Buffy. It's like, people can share a moment and then never see each other again and it doesn't make it any less special. And he talks for like an hour or whatever and then Willow's like, you're full of crap.
Now I have to kill you.
But I'm not ready yet. I have to study Wicca a little bit more. But that's another thing. I mean, even all the characters grow and change. I mean, Xander has a relationship, almost gets married, which everyone's like, how is that weirdo dude going to be in a relationship with anybody?
But it makes perfect sense. Once you watch...
And Anya had... came from, you know, hundreds of years of being this powerful demon. All of a sudden she has to be a high school student again. And she's like, I just want people to accept me. Someone, I want to fit in. I need to fit in. I need to have a purpose. What's my purpose? And it's being Xander's wife, which is why the episode in season 7 that is probably my favorite episode is so important.
This one you haven't, still can't think of the name of?
It's so bad. I'm going to look at my phone sneakily. Guys, don't look. Don't watch while I look at my phone.
I'm turning on the webcams now.
no! But, I mean, she's a character that came on. She was featured in an episode.
And they liked her.
And they were like, oh, we like this character. Let's bring her in as a high school student. Because she does get defeated at the end of that episode as a demon. And then all the way at the end of the 7th season, we get a whole episode about her history. Let's see. What should I look up? How do I look it up?
You tell me, man. You're the one that knows what the episode is about. You have not given me much information about it.
Biffy. it's the one, Buffy season 7, where she kills all the...
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm sorry.
Anya kills frat guys. There's a lot of frat guys. Well, not a lot, but there's a few specific frat guy episodes. Like, if you wanted to do a frat guy tour of Buffy... could give you a few episodes to watch.
That could happen.
One of them's in season 2. Selfless.
Yeah. You know, while you're looking that up, you want to know what one of my favorite episodes of Buffy is?
What?
I think it's the first episode of the 3rd season, which is the one where she has run away.
Oh, yeah.
And she's trying not to be the Slayer anymore. And she's just working in a diner. And she's got some other name. And nobody knows where Buffy... Is that what it is? It's Anne?
The name of the episode is Anne, I think.
Oh, okay. And nobody knows where she's gone. She's just run away from her responsibilities. And it's like that thing of, even though, it's like that thing of, that episode is so great because it's like.
Your responsibility finds you?
Yes! That she's like.
You can't run from your destiny.
It's like, yeah, that it's like that the way that it goes, like, and it's like, it sucks. I mean, it's so exciting when she shows up.
She's like, fine, I'm going to fight these people.
These people kidnap her and it's like. They think she's just some other lady, and it's like, oh.
Just some forgotten street kid. And
yeah, because that's what, like, that's basically what it seems like she is. You know, she's just living it, and they're like, they're abducting these people that just no one cares about.
Making
them
be slaves, and then coughing them out like a day later, and they're old and half dead.
Pulling them into another dimension through a portal in the basement of some place that then, like.
There's a great line in that episode where Buffy is, like, defeating the bad guy, and she's like, it's suggested that she's like, like he tries to come in over and he gets caught under the door and she just like stabs him in the head or stomps on him or something a few times. And you just see her kind of raging and the girl's like, whoa, are you okay? And she's like, no, she goes, hey, want to see my impression of Gandhi? And then wails on the guy's head. And the girl goes, the girl that she's rescuing goes, Gandhi? And Buffy goes, well, I mean, he was real mad and stuff, right? And I'm like, yeah, pretty much.
Oh, man. That was not what I expected you to say. That was not the line I was expecting
you. Because Buffy's funny.
Yeah. Yeah, Buffy's very funny. The show is very funny.
He was all mad and stuff, right?
But that episode is, like, so great of being, like, it has the, like, you get that joyful catharsis of going, like, there's these bad people. Like, that episode from the first season, or that line in that episode from the first season where he's like, don't worry, it's okay. Buffy's a superhero.
Yeah.
That's the episode where it really kind of, like, shines through that it's, like, she's going to go take care of stuff. And it's, like, even, it's going to find, like, this craziness will find her. Even yeah. if she tries to run away from it. So she can't. But it's, like, when she does, when she just goes, like,
All right,
I have to kick all of you guys' asses now.
Yeah, it's beauty.
Yeah, it's like, you're just going, like, this makes me feel so, like, this feels so right.
Yeah.
This is, like, so, like, yes, these people deserve to have this happen to them now.
Yeah.
And, oh, it's just something else. And then it's, like, but in the course of that,
you know. And then she makes, like, a terrible joke. And it's, like, was that an okay joke? And everyone's, like, whatever, Buffy. And she's, like, I don't know, I'm not normal.
You know, but then she's, like, and then it makes her go, like, all right, I've got to go back. I can't run away from this. I have to go right. be who I am.
And then she goes back and everyone's pissed at her.
Yep.
And she has to deal with that. It's like, she has no escape.
Yeah.
And no one's like, well, you're a superhero, so we get it.
Yeah.
You know, oh, you had to do this horrible thing. I mean, like, the end of the second season, if you see it, you'll be like,
oh, that was yeah. horrible.
Get out of town, take a break.
Yeah, let's take a U day.
And then she comes back and everyone's like, fuck you, Buffy, sorry. Oh, I'm the worst.
You have done a lot of cusses.
Can you bleep it out with, like, words like, ha-ha?
No, I'll just bleep it with a bleep.
Oh, that's boring. But hey, anyway.
Do you want to learn how to do nope. all the editing stuff?
Nope.
If you want to learn how to do it, I will let you
edit all you want. Anyway, yeah, she has to go back home that episode and her mom, and everybody's mad at her, and then those weird mummy zombies killing her mom's only friend
yeah.
from the museum. She's like, sorry, Mom, but I'm home.
Man, Buffy's relationship with her mom was such a roller coaster.
It is, and that's why that episode in season 5.
I was going to ask, too, like, I mean, as someone who I think has a, as a lady who also has, like, I think you have had a roller coaster relationship with your mom.
I feel like all daughters do.
You think?
I mean, I haven't talked to every girl in the world, but
I thought you had.
I mean, I've tried. I'm working on it.
You said that you had, and that's why I should have you on the show.
Oops. Might have stretched the truth a bit there.
Okay.
But no, it is a roller coaster, but her relationship with her mom is really important. I think my favorite part about Joyce Summers is that she doesn't know for a while that Buffy's a slayer. Mm-hmm. And when she finally does, she's like, can we just call the police and tell them about this so that you don't have to do this anymore because this is stupid.
Yeah.
And there's, like, a vampire in her house and he's like, hey, what's up? Also, Spike and Joyce have a special relationship too. Because yeah. she's like, yeah, I can see that you're a confused boy. Probably living on the streets.
I can see that you're a confused, handsome British boy.
With, like, bleach blonde hair that's, like, hanging out with my daughter, who I've heard is in gangs. There's a great line when Cordelia first meets Joyce at parent-teacher night
mm-hmm.
in the middle of season 2. It's like, what's my line, part 1 and part 2. But Joyce's mom, Joyce comes up and Cordelia's like, now there's a woman who knows how to moisturize. Cordelia. Oh, Buffy.
Every time you say there's a great line, then the line you bring up is great, but mm-hmm. it's never like what I think you're going to, like the lines.
What
or,
were you thinking I was
going to say? I don't know, but I just didn't think that's mm-hmm. the interaction, the way it was going to play. I mean, and obviously you've seen the show way more than I have.
And I also am a girl, so I see it a different way than you
that's
do.
True. That's true. That's weird? That's why it's fun to talk to you about this.
Yeah.
Because you are certainly Corey was also a big Buffy fan mm-hmm. when we were he and I would watch it not together, but we would watch it. We were both would watch it when it was on, mm-hmm. and then like
this, talk about it,
and then talk about it because we were like, "Oh, Sarah Michelle Gellar."
Yeah,
we were seeing it clearly from a very different set of eyes. We were not.
She's like, hot.
Yeah, it was just like
a girl, just like that.
This girl is so. I mean, yeah, that's basically yeah. like.
She's real tortured though, so you gotta be careful of those tortured girls.
Yep. nope, I completely lost what I was gonna say.
One of the great things about her relationship with Riley, speaking of Riley, is that it's a great dichotomy between, like, they meet when he
It would not be the same, me talking to Corey about the show, mm-hmm. reminiscing about the show with Corey, would right. not be at all the same as me talking to you about it, was my point.
Right. No, so, I get that. Yeah. I get that. But yeah, her relationship with Riley is so important because they're on the same level fighting-wise and strength-wise when they meet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of why she's like, yeah, I found a guy that's kind of like me. But then when the things kind of change and he becomes weak, he has trouble dealing with the fact that his girlfriend is way stronger than he is. And she's like, I can't do anything about that.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want from me? And she withdraws too. And neither of them really communicate with each other about it.
So, relationships are hard.
Yeah.
Whether you're killing vampires or not.
Exactly.
So we could keep talking about this for forever.
But my favorite...
Yeah, ahead. No. By all means, you found the episode. Tell me about it.
So it's Selfless, and it's season 7. It's the 5th episode of the 7th season.
You would not recommend it to people, though, if they were not familiar with the show, right?
Right.
It would not have
I would not. But this is probably my favorite show, and it's not written by Joss Whedon. It's not directed by Joss Whedon. It is written by David Solomon. No, directed by David Solomon and written by Drew Goddard. Interesting.
Ooh.
But David Solomon came on later, I think. Villager. Oh, yeah. And he had a kind of a unique point of view. I mean, a lot of his stuff is a little bit sadder.
Mm-hmm.
But Selfless is... It's all about Anya's history and how she was cheated on by this giant guy. And everyone's like, she's weird. Like, she can't make friends in the village because all the women don't understand her because she's not like normal women. She doesn't fit the mold. And even her boyfriend is like, Anya, don't be a dumbass.
I think dumbass is okay. It's more the F word.
People don't want to be friends with you because you're weird. Don't be weird. And she's like, so of course she like turns him into a troll. And this guy comes and finds her and is like, you'd make a great demon. He's like, what's your name? And she's like, Odd. That's her name actually, is Odd. Is A-U-D, but it's mm-hmm. pronounced odd.
Right.
She's an odd girl. So she's a demon, and then she's super powerful, and you kind of go through history with her, like, at the Bolshevik Revolution, she started it. But she's a revenge demon. She carries out revenge for scorned women. She basically gets them to make a wish about the person that scorned her, and then Anyanka... unleashes eternal suffering on them.
Sure, like one does.
Like you do.
When you're a revenge demon.
And she was introduced into the show because she took a request from Cordelia after Cordelia and Xander broke up.
Right.
But instead, Cordelia's like, I wish Buffy never came to Sunnydale. And Anya's like, well, all right. And she creates an alternate reality where we meet Gay Willow for the first time. Which is, like, there's a lot of foreshadowing in those episodes, too, about what he has planned for the future. Like, Josh knew where he was going.
Yeah.
With the story. But then, so Anya is going to get married, and... Oh, I feel like I have to spoil it.
You don't have to. I mean...
Things happen between Anya and Xander don't end up together. Sorry, everybody. And she kind of goes back to being a vengeance demon, and she... ends up committing this horrible crime, basically she creates a giant spider monster that rips people's hearts out because these guys were making fun of this girl all in a circle. They like brought her, and her frat boyfriend dumped her in front of all these people, and she was like, I wish you all knew what it felt like to get your hearts ripped out. Which is a very like a common scorned woman feeling. And Anya goes in and she's like, yeah, me too. And so she creates the worst possible thing. So it's just like, you walk into this frat house and it's full of dudes with their hearts ripped out. And she's covered in blood and everyone's like, what's going on, Anya? And Buffy, being the slayer, has to kill her because she's killed all these people. And Xander wants to fight for her. Xander's like, no, I'm going to save you, and I'm going to stop Buffy, and I'm going to do all this stuff. And Anya's like, no, Xander, I have to fight my own fights. I've been doing this my whole life. It's not about you right now. Yeah. Like, even how mad I am right now, it's not about you. You did this shitty thing to me, but my whole life has been based on vengeance and this anger that I can't let go of, and I need to be able to let go of it. And, you know, she gets stabbed through the heart, and of course she's a demon, but she has to pull the sword out. It's a really poignant moment. Because, like, Buffy, like, stabs her through the heart, and then there's a commercial break. she, like, pins her to the wall with this giant sword, and then after the commercial break, it's her singing a song, and it's like a flashback to the sixth season musical episode, but she's singing a song about how she's like, I've always wondered what I was going to be, you know, after I lost my job as a vengeance demon, and now I know what I'll be, is Xander's wife. And it's a great scene where she's like, he's asleep and she's covered up in a blanket, and she's like sitting in his lap, and like the chair is spinning around and she's singing, and then it just cuts off to her with like her demon face pinned up against the wall with like a sword through her chest.
Right.
And she like lifts her head up and is like, ah. And Xander's like, oh, thank goodness. And she's like, whatever. And she pulls the sword out of her chest, and then starts fighting Buffy again with it. But it's a woman that's like, I know my sins. I take full responsibility for them. And then when, you know, and Willow calls on her master or whatever and is like, you have to stop her because she's, you know, she's going crazy. You have to make her not, you know, give her the chance to take it back. And he does, and she's like, I want to take it back because I went too far. Like, even she knows she went too far. And she thinks that, she knows that, like, in order for him to take it back, a vengeance demon has to die. And she's like, yeah, I know. Take me. I'm ready to die. I'm fine. I don't want to feel like this anymore. But instead, he kills her best friend in front of her. And then it's like, all right, you're not a demon anymore. Bye. And she has to
deal with that.
Yeah.
And live with that.
And Xander, you know, even at the end, he's like, I really want to help you. And she's like, you really can't. And that's a really important thing, I think, for women to see. Because I think a lot of times, and men too, is we want to help each other in ways that we just can't. Like, there are some battles that only we can fight. Like, she was the one that was going to have to come to terms with her anger and hurt and all that stuff. And confusion at not being accepted, you know. And learn to accept herself. And Xander was going to have to learn that, like, he gave up the right to have any hand in that. He could be her friend, but he couldn't have anything else because he had a lot of shit that he has to work on too, you know?
Right.
And that's just the reality of what you have to realize when you become like an adult is that like nobody else can fix your problems but you. And sometimes when you think you're going to make it better, you're like, oh, here I can fix it all by just sacrificing myself. The universe is like, nope, you don't get to sacrifice yourself. You have to live with the mistakes that you've made, and you have to learn how to live with the mistakes that you've made and be a normal person.
This took a turn.
I'm just saying, but this is a recurring.
Yes.
This is the overall theme of Buffy too, is that like, you know, you're going to deal with all of the things that you do, and how you deal with it is what determines, you know, how your life ends up. And Buffy has to make those decisions every day too.
Yeah.
You know, she has huge, you know, she has great responsibility and she has great strength. She can hurt people and she has hurt people and she has to deal with that. And nobody can take it from her and nobody can save her from it. Anyway, it's a really deep episode, but I've seen it like a million times. Mm-hmm. And if you should go back and watch it. You'll probably cry because it's intense.
Yeah.
It's really intense, but it's really well performed and directed and written. It's great.
So let me ask you this then. And I mean, obviously, like I said, we could talk about this forever. Mm-hmm. And I do want to, I'm looking forward to like getting to talk to you about this more in depth, you know, sort of in more specific episodes and things like that. Mm-hmm. But, what do you think? And, you know, maybe you've kind of already, we've already kind of gotten to some of this, but I want to give you the chance maybe to see if, what do you think the point of Buffy is?
Oh, okay. This is where we get to the season, the seventh season. And I'm not going to say what happens, but the point of it is, well, the...
especially since we talked about all these things about like having a like with the director and the writer and all these things, and like having mm-hmm. What you're trying to show someone means something,
right? And that the seventh season is heavily feminism, 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 and people are like, oh, I don't like that word. I don't like that word. Well, you're just gonna have to get over it. You know, it's the word that we use to describe things, and until it's how everyone feels about things, then we're gonna have to have a separate word for it. You
right.
know? So the seventh season is very much the first episode of the seventh season. You see all of the past bad guys, and then it ends with because the big bad evil or whatever, he can appear as people that have died, and Buffy has killed all the bad guys, and so they appear. The first evil appears as each of them to Spike in the basement of the school, who's crazy, because he got his soul back. But anyway, and they're all talking about, you know, why they did it, basically. Like, why did we try to destroy the world? That's pretty much all of their goals was, I'm going to destroy the world. And Buffy was like, no, you're not.
Not on my watch.
Because I'm a slayer. But it's, you know, and you have each of them saying, it's not about this. It's not about this. It's not about the girl. It's not about, you know, the fame. It's not about the stories that people are going to tell. And when it all comes down to it, it's about power. And that's what patriarchy is. Patriarchy is not about anything else but power. People are like, well, when you say patriarchy, you're just talking about men. Well, we're talking about a system that is based on ultimate power. That someone achieves ultimate power and they take care of everyone else.
Right.
There always has to be a best. Just like with the Slayer, there always has to be one. There can only be one in every generation. But what if there was a way that we could all have power?
Right.
And the secret is that we all do have power. And that's what you learn from each of the characters in Buffy, is that they weren't just people that liked Buffy or Buffy fans. You know, I mean, they were fans of their friend, but yeah. They brought something to the table. And they were encouraged to. I mean, Willow in high school was just kind of like, I'm the smart girl. And then she was like, now I'm a powerful witch and I could destroy the world if I wanted to. And she is inspired by her friend to see how powerful she can become.
Right.
But when she tries to be the most powerful, it goes wrong for her. Because that's not how we move forward as a people.
Right.
The way that we move forward as a people is the most powerful. I mean, they actually step back and say, how did I get this power? And the reality is it was given to them. Just like with Buffy, and she meets like some lady monk at the end who's like, really, your name's Buffy? She's like, that's not what we were expecting. But their plan was to share that power. But evil came along and they had to like limit it to one person in every generation. Because of the way things are or whatever, but they created this way that she could share the power. I mean, I'm trying not to give it away.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, you're treading
I know,
real
basically,
close.
Basically, though...
I mean, it's awesome.
The point of Buffy, though, is how do you... You're lonely. You're the only one with all this responsibility. Someone tells you you're the only one with this responsibility. You have to take care of anyone else. And she says it constantly. I'm the Slayer. I'm the only one that can do this. And she says it all the way through, even the seventh season, until this point where she's like, wait a minute. And the point is that like everyone in your life brings something to the table. And when you start to see that and you start to help them see that, because not all people can see what they bring to the table. So when you have this power to see that in other people, you help bring it out. And that's one of the things that Buffy did for her friends. And what they did for her was to say, but Buffy, this is who you are to us. and she would keep fighting, and she would say, "This is who you are to me," and they would keep fighting. I mean, she couldn't have done it without her gang.
Yeah.
You know, and then at the end, fighting the ultimate evil, how do you do that? You're the only one. But the truth is, in reality, it doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah.
We don't have to be so power hungry that we want all, that one person wants all of it. There's plenty of power in creation or whatever, in the world, in the universe. It's just, how can you help people harness their own power? And that's feminism. It takes a village concept. It's not some dude up at the top saying, "Guys, trust me, I'll take care of it." That's the father knows best patriarchal sort of construct that's about ultimate power. But feminism isn't about that. Feminism is about sharing it. Yeah, and if I talked about the last episode, I would weep. I would be like, I can't finish.
Well, I think you did a great job of explaining, like, I think you did a marvelous job of explaining why the show is so great, and, you know, what it's about and what it means, and why people should check it out. And if you haven't, goodness knows, if you've listened to all of this and aren't still interested in checking the show out, I don't know what's wrong with you. But this has been, this went a lot of ways I did not expect it to, but in, like, great ways.
I think about Buffy a lot.
Yes, clearly. And which is exactly why I wanted to talk to you about it. And it went great. And thank you so much for talking with me about it. And
we'll do this again sometime.
Yeah, for sure. We're going to do, you know, there'll be some things to hammer out as far as, like, how we approach it.
But, right. Exactly.
Yeah, this has been super fun. And it's also, I mean, it's like a lot of the things you said were, even though I love the show,
mm-hmm.
and there are a lot of things about it that I certainly did understand, mm-hmm. about, like, this is why this is good, this is why I like this, this mm-hmm. is why this works. There were lots of things you said tonight where I was like, oh yeah, I never thought about it like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or like, oh, okay. Like,
what? Name one specifically.
The thing about how Xander got fat.
You're a liar. is why Xander got fat.
No, but I mean, honestly, we talked about too much stuff for me to even, like, mm-hmm. process it all right now. But when I'm going back and listening to this to, like, put it in and, you know, to listenable.
Figure out how to make it in a thing that people can stick with.
Yes. You know, I will be going back through. I'm sure you'll get texts like, oh, man, this was really enlightening to me to think about. But that's kind of the thing. You didn't just say one thing. You said lots of things that now mm-hmm. I'm like, mm-hmm, that makes sense.
I'm going to have to go back and watch that.
That
now.
Checks out. But yeah, so thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for giving me an outlet to talk about one of my favorite things in life.
You're very welcome. I'm looking forward to doing this again about Buffy because, I mean, it is, like I said, I mean, it's a show I love and it's worth talking about. So yeah, guys, man, hell if I know. This has been quite a day, quite a podcasting day.
Oh yes, indeed.
I think we've talked, like, a combined, you know, like, 3 hours about the things.
Yep.
But, you know, some good, some bad. It was a nice scale balance on the things we talked about, one being very not good and one being very, very good. I'll put it all in the show notes. Is there places you want to tell people to follow you? Or?
My blog, carolineloveshow.blogspot.com.
That may not be the right address.
Might not be the right address, but it'll be on the website.
Yes.
But I do often, you know, I talk mostly about my life, but I draw heavily from Buffy episodes and also sometimes The Secret of Nim and sometimes Star Trek. So, you know, I mean, it's all emotional and dramatic.
If you're into any of those three things. And that's also what is the blog that you have that is your alternate reality Buffy Star Trek Secret of Nim fan fiction?
Oh man, My Penis with Caroline.
So yeah, check that out. Just Google that. That will definitely not take you to some websites you weren't expecting. And on Instagram, you are at Nancy Caroline.
Yeah, I think so. That's I don't know. It. What's my name? Is it?
It's Nancy Caroline. Probably. I checked from earlier.
Good deal. Nancy
Carroll. So, yeah. So, go. I mean, you don't post a lot, but. So, I mean.
On Instagram?
Yeah.
I post, like, once a day.
I don't think it's that much, but.
Your mom doesn't think it's that much.
She probably doesn't.
Neither does your face.
My mom probably follows you on Instagram already. the look of.
What?
Nervousness. Well, it's not like you have anything on there that.
No. No, I don't take pictures of my boobs or myself in
bathroom mirrors.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes I do, but normally I'm just like, look at me in a bathroom mirror. Like,
right. Mostly you post pictures of flowers, floral arrangements.
Floral arrangements or mountainscapes.
Or Linus.
My dog, who's awesome.
Who is fantastic.
Sometimes when I'm feeling myself, I'll post pictures of myself.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that's how most of us treat Instagram.
Yeah.
But yeah, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having
This was so fun. All right, guys, you know the deal. Follow the show on Twitter at KICTM Podcast. Follow me on Twitter at the Chris Haley. Go to keepitclosetome.com to find all the show notes and links to things. What else? If you got any emails, you got fun stuff you want to send in. I've still got tons of emails and stuff that I need to answer on the show. I'm sorry that I haven't yet. There's just been so many fun things like this have come up. And then when
Hey guys, life is hard. And sometimes people have to take it in stride. Okay.
That's true. But email those to keepitclosetomepodcast@gmail.com. Follow the show. No, don't follow it. Support the show if you want to. At patreon.com/thechrishaley. You get early access to episodes.
Corporate behind, overlords.
Behind the scenes stuff. If you support the show in certain ways, you get free stuff in the mail. Cool things. You can figure it out. Thank you so much to everybody who already does support the show on Patreon. All of this good stuff. Leave the show a review on iTunes if you haven't already. Thank you to the people that already have. That's the kind of thing that makes iTunes point us out to people more, and it's really great when you do these kind of things. And I think that is basically all the stuff that I'm supposed to say at the end.
Topple the patriarchy!
Yes. Topple the patriarchy. We miss you, Roxy. And I'll just leave you with this. No, thank you.
I'm saving that for the car. Enjoy that in all its glory. Alone.